Hey, Wingman Nation, welcome to the Wingman Men's Moment podcast. This is John Delaney hanging at the hangar, and we're kind of doing a weird podcast today, aren't we? Keeping your character when compromise knocks. I'm hanging out with Pastor Jay Dennis and Randy Ferreira, co-founders of Wingman Nation. Good morning, guys. Good to see you both.
Good morning, John.
Good morning, John. How are you?
How's everybody doing? Are we all right?
Yes, sir.
Rocky's doing great.
No, Adrian.
Condominiums, I never use them.
Never use them.
Oh, boy.
Well, we're all having a little fun. We're excited to have
Father Carmine. Hey, Father Carmine, I need to get my father. Hey, Rocky.
Hey. Oh, no. These poor listeners are just going, who are these goofballs?
Yeah.
Let's rock and roll.
We're excited to have you all listening with us today. This is, again, part two of keeping your character when compromise knocks. We looked at, and we're going to look at again, Genesis 39, 1 through 18. That's where the story is coming from, the story of Joseph. And in part one, we talked about the temptation from Potiphar's wife. And well, jump in right now. And who's starting this one out?
I'm starting this
one. Jay's starting this one out.
Well, thank you, John. Good morning,
Papa away, brother. Rock.
Good morning, Pastor Jay. How are you?
I am doing great. It's great to see you. And part one, we shared the story of Joseph and his great temptation orchestrated by Potiphar's wife. Satan made sure that Joseph understood that no one was around and no one would have to find out. Yet this man chose to say no to her, and it landed him in prison because she falsely accused him of rape. You know, sometimes when you do the right thing, you end up in trouble. Yeah. But remember, God has the last word. God doesn't always settle his accounts on Saturday night. Yeah. An older pastor told me that one time, and I like that. When you do the right thing, God is never finished with you. Now, in our podcast, in part one, we shared four principles. Number one, experience God on a daily basis. Number two, determine to do your best and be your best right where you are. Number three is dare to share your testimony right where you are. Number four, be ready for temptation to strike. So we will pick up on number four and look at some specifics about the temptation and how it affects men today. Papa Rock, you take it.
Hey, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, when temptation strikes, as you can see, we're saying when temptation strikes, not if temptation strikes. That's sort of a tongue twister there. But it usually seems at the time like it's the right thing to do, you know, at that moment. I mean, at least it's the convenient, the feel-good thing to do, right? Mm-hmm. You know, but notice how compromise and temptations actually knock. Mm-hmm. Number one, temptation knocks when we are lonely. I mean, Joseph was lonely. He was away from home, probably feeling that no one cared about him or even knew he was alive. Watch out then. During those times of loneliness, Satan will use that and compromise will knock, and it presents itself as an exciting opportunity.
It does.
Number two, temptation will knock repeatedly. Mrs. Potiphar, she didn't give up. Genesis 39, 7, 9, 11, 12.
Right.
I could say a few things about that. But and after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" And then, so it also says in 39, 11 through 12, "One day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants were inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, 'Come to bed with me.' But he left his cloak in her hand and he ran." Guys, Satan is persistent. It will continue to knock. you know, temptation will come after you. He will attempt to file down your wall of character and conviction. Repeatedly, he will weary you with these repeated knocks. Many simply concerned, just give in.
Yeah.
Don't let or think that the temptation will just go away, because it won't, especially if you have a weakness in a certain area of your life. And right. We all have weaknesses.
We do.
Every one of us, I don't care who you are or how big your church is or what you do for a living.
Right.
Opportunity knocks, and it knocks only once, but temptation keeps banging and banging on your door.
That's a good picture, because that's exactly what was happening to Joseph. Satan persistently knocked on his door. And can you imagine how hard it is to say no? But yet he had been with God, and God had given him the power. Guys, just like he'll give you. But look at number three. Temptation knocks when things are going well. Joseph had the run of the house. But notice in Genesis 39:7, and it came about after these events. So temptation hit him at a time when God was blessing him. Watch out, men. When everything is looking up, when everything is going great, because compromise will knock at that time.
Well,
but number four, temptation knocks often in familiar settings. Joseph saw Mrs. Potiphar every single day. Mm-hmm. The surroundings were very familiar. His closeness, his presence presented an opportunity for compromise. Don't let your guard down with the opposite sex ever. Don't allow familiarity to become a freedom to flirt and discuss things that should be reserved for marriage partners only. I had a guy tell me not long ago, he said, you know, I just flirt with the ladies at work, but they all know I'm just having fun and I don't really mean it. That's a dangerous thing to do.
Yeah.
Flirt with your wife and never flirt with any other woman. And when you're in familiar settings, it's easier to let your guard down. So you have to be extra careful with the opposite sex that you see every single day.
And it's almost like Satan's going to even try to attack you more when things are going good, because he knows, yeah. Oh, well, he's having fun. He's doing great. Da, 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 da. I'm going to hit him hard now because he's not going to expect it.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. So we let the guard down.
That's mm-hmm. right. Number five, try to rehearse your response before compromise even knocks. What does that mean? Well, it's not, again, if we're going to be tempted, but when we're tempted. Joseph obviously knew that Mrs. Potiphar was interested. She certainly made her intentions known. You know, Genesis 39:7, it says, and after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, come to bed with me. You know, she didn't mix words, right?
I mean, that's pretty, just, that wasn't you know, subtle, was it?
and that look said, I'm available and I'm interested. Come on. So we believe that Joseph had rehearsed in his mind how he would respond with that temptation when it came. In the midst of the temptation, it's easy to forget about God because we're like, you know, thinking about so much else. But victory is gained in our mind and not our imagination. Well, I guess you could say it's gained in your mind and your imagination.
And your imagination.
Yeah. First, before and, you know, the temptation ever even comes.
Right.
So we have to rehearse our response to that temptation. It's like building an exit ramp in our mind before you're tempted. Think about it. What would I do if, and then, you know, put in that situation?
Right.
Also rehearse the consequences of what would happen in your mind if you do give into that temptation. You know, it's within our power through Christ to say no to any temptation. And by rehearsing it prior and developing an exit ramp and praying through that, it's going to make temptation easier, but not easy.
Exactly. Well put. And when you're thinking about, okay, what is going to happen if I do give in and you rehearse those consequences, that helps you put up another wall to say, I don't want to go there. I don't want to ruin my marriage. I don't want to affect my relationship with God. I don't want to lose my testimony. So you go through those consequences. And I think, again, it puts up another wall. But number six, avoid compromising situations as much as possible. Genesis 39:10. And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. Joseph chose to avoid Mrs. Potiphar, to stay away from her as much as possible. Even the strongest man can fall. Dr. Howard Hendricks, I conducted a study of 246 men in full-time ministry who experienced personal moral failure within a two-year period. In other words, Dr. Hendricks was able to find nearly 250 men who derailed within 24 months of each other. That's roughly 10 a month for 2 years.
Wow.
That's something. 10 guys a month in moral failure. That's two, almost three guys a week. And each of them started strong. Yet the thing they had in common was that within 24 months of each other, they each got involved in sexual immorality. After interviewing each man, Dr. Hendricks discovered four correlations running through the experiences of the entire 246 who derailed. Mm. When you know there's a place, when you know there's a person, a situation, an atmosphere where compromise is made easier, don't allow yourself to be put in that position. There are situations that promote compromise, and you know where they are and who they are. So as much as possible, if I know there's a place where I'm going to be tempted, I need to try to avoid that.
Yes.
If there is a person that I know I'm going to be tempted around, are tempted with, I'm going to try to stay away from that person as much as possible. So I need to remove these opportunities as much as I can.
Interesting, too. You know, I think about what Joseph did, and we'll probably talk about it, but fleeing always comes to mind when temptation is around.
Yes.
Run, get the heck out of there, you know, whatever it takes. But
good point. Run from it.
Yeah, run. So the next one would be more concerned about offending God than offending the people. And a lot of times we get, you know, we get backed in a corner because we're so worried if our actions may offend somebody or that person. We can't worry about that. We got to be more concerned about offending God. So in Genesis 39:9, it says, "No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing?" And here's the most important part, and sin against God. Joseph was more concerned about offending God than he was in offending Mrs. Potiphar, and you know, who was a VIP in Egypt, which could have been, you know, bad consequences for offending a VIP. So he was unwilling to throw away his testimony and his love for the Lord for one act of pleasure. You know, guys, it's just not worth it. It's not too high a price to pay. The basis of Joseph saying no was his commitment to the Lord and his belief in the seriousness of his sin. You know, yes. Is compromising worth discrediting the name of Jesus? That's how we have to look at it. Ruining your testimony or even destroying your marriage or your family, is it really worth it for, you know, a moment of pleasure?
Mm-hmm.
No, you know, way. God was more real to Joseph than the temptation that confronted him. And I love that, because that goes back to what we talked about earlier about experiencing God. If we're experiencing God every single day, he becomes real.
Yes.
And he becomes ingrained in our heart and in our soul. And God being more real than the temptation that's going to confront us gives us strength.
Yes.
You know, you're pleasing people. If we try to please people, that's going to destroy us. It's going to destroy you. We need to determine that you had rather God be happy with you and not really worry about what the people think.
Yes.
You know, that the people be happy with you and God won't be. That's where you don't want to be.
No.
Well, geez, at least I didn't offend her, but oh man, I just offended God, the creator of the universe. I'm worried about Sue Smith and I just offended the creator of the universe. Look out.
Exactly. And if you try to please people all the time, I promise you, you're not going to be able to please them. But no. God tells us how to please him. God's a lot easier to please than people are, for sure.
Oh, my goodness.
No doubt. You don't want to come back to one thing that Dr. Hendricks in that study he did. The one issue that he saw in all of these who fell into sin is they had no accountability.
Interesting.
They had no one that they answered the hard questions with every week. And he said, without fail, these men who fell morally, none of them had an accountability relationship with another man.
Very, very important. Very important.
And we come back and we say, guys, you need at least another man, more than one if you can, but at least somebody asking you the hard questions and keeping you on track. Let me just make a personal confession here. I was kind of going through a tough time last night, and I reached out to Randy, and Randy was able to minister a word to me, and that helped me tremendously. That's the way God wants this thing to work,
right,
is that you have accountability with each other, and that is priceless, guys. Well, number eight, there's a price for not compromising. Genesis 39:20. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. It seems that Joseph got in trouble for doing the right thing. He said no to this powerfully attractive temptation. He stood up for his convictions and kept his character. And what happened? He was sent to jail for it. He was falsely accused by Mrs. Potiphar of rape, sent to prison. Is that the thanks he got for doing the right thing? Guys, listen, there's a price for not compromising, for taking a stand, for not giving in to temptation. You'll probably be misunderstood. You'll be laughed at. You'll be mocked. You'll be ridiculed. You'll not be included. And you may be passed over for a promotion. It may be lonely for you during that time. But it will cost you more if you compromise. It will cost you your character. You could lose your testimony. You could shatter your dreams for the future. You could ruin your marriage. Irreparable damage you could do to your children or grandchildren, and even destroy your health. Randy, you asked it a while ago. Is it worth it? Not no, but heck no. It is not worth it.
And I'd like to add to that by thinking that if we compromise, that no one's going to find out or that no one will ever know. That is a big lie from Satan, because God always exposes sin. It may not be right now. That's right. Confess the sin and move on. Because if you don't, it will be exposed, and more than just you will know about it, because God is faithful in that regard. He will expose sin.
100%.
So. The next one is, in God's time, we will be rewarded for our character in making those right choices. God doesn't always settle up, as Jay said earlier, on Saturday night. You know, yes, Joseph had been in the pits. Yes, he was now in prison and for two long years. But watch what happens next. God did come through. He did intervene. It all happened because of God's plan of what he had for Joseph. So
that's right.
Joseph eventually becomes the prime minister of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh himself.
That's right.
Must have been in the southern part of Egypt.
Pharaoh.
There's a song about that, I think.
That's right, there is. So God doesn't forget about your commitment. It doesn't escape him when you keep your character, when compromise knocks. From a pit to the pinnacle for Joseph. Wow. From disappointment to divine appointment. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. From a slave to a prime minister. Mm. The only thing that separated Joseph the slave from Joseph the second in command of all of Egypt was 13 years of trials, tribulations, pain, grief, and hard knocks. It was God's timing. In God's time, if you keep your character, you can expect God's crown.
Praise God.
It is a matter of waiting on God's timing. God's standard time is much better than our time or your time or my time. Waiting on the Lord involves doing everything you can do, doing what God plainly tells us to do in his word, and leaving everything we can't do up to God.
Amen. We trust God, we do the right thing, and we leave the results to God. And as we've said, God may not immediately send his blessings, but in his time, he will. He will.
And I got to tell you, you will feel so much better, even though you may get ridiculed, made fun of, as Jay said, left out, left behind, not you know, given that promotion. You will have such a strong, cleansed feeling in your heart that you did the right thing, that all those other things that are around you will just become immaterial as it relates to your heart.
Randy, you're so right. It's a great feeling to know that you've obeyed God and you've done the right thing. And I know we can't live on feelings, but man, what a feeling when you've done the will of God and you know you've done the will of God. I think about people getting baptized. I've never seen an unhappy person come out of the baptistry. Why? Because they obeyed God. They did what God said to do. And that's a visual. But no matter what you do, as you do it for the glory of God, God will bless you.
Oh, what a feeling. John, you should be playing that song in the
background. Yeah, I love that what song.
I was actually looking up Walk Like an Egyptian.
Pharaoh, Pharaoh. Let your people go. I love it. Let me end with this. About temptation, a man was trying to lose weight and decided that it was best if he not drive past his favorite bakery on the way to work each day. So he took an alternative route, and this worked well for some time. But one day, he absentmindedly took his old route to work. And when he realized what he was doing, he thought, this must be a sign from God. So he kept driving, but just to make sure he wasn't deceiving himself, he said, I'll drive past and there's a parking spot I'll take as a sign from God that he wants me to buy something in there. And the funny thing was, on the eighth time around,
I pulled in.
Krispy Kreme donuts.
Got me a donut.
Divine appointment.
It's got to be God's will. Well, guys, listen, thanks for listening to us. And I hope that these practical principles will be able to help you and encourage you. And you'll be able to take these even today and start putting them into practice, because when you keep your character, even though compromise knocks, God will bless you with more things than you can even imagine.
Yes.
I want to give, lastly,
the Wingman Life Verse will help you. Mm-hmm. Be on your guard, stand firm in your faith, be brave and strong and men of courage, and do everything in love. Memorizing that, living that will help you fight temptation and keep your character.
That's a good word, my brother.
Great word.
Thanks for listening. Encourage other people to listen to this. Listen as a family. If you're looking for something that you could do as a family devotional, take these podcasts. It'd be a great thing for your whole family to listen to. Thank you again. But until next time,
Wingman out.
The Wingman Men's Moment podcast is brought to you courtesy of the Wingman Nation Men's Ministry. Visit us at wingmannation.com.